right now on VFN TV, George Soros and the organizations that he's over are organizing in Washington, D.C., anti-Trump protests, organizing darkness. We're going to talk about that as well, including Rules for Radicals, Saul Alinsky, and riots in the streets. And what did Hillary Clinton write to the Saul Alinsky today, right now, on VFN TV?
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
Here's what the Holy Spirit said. He said, I have many ministers, and they are speaking on my behalf. But he said, what's missing is the urgency of the voice. These mega churches are really cognizant not to offend people. And they're really careful when they get up and preach to people that everybody leaves out there feeling really good. Preachers refuse to preach on the coming of Jesus Christ. Where's the urgency? I have never seen America in the place where we are right now. If you think that all the persecution is going to remain in Iraq against the Christians, you better think again. It's already coming into this country right now. If we don't tell people what they need to hear, God's going to hold us accountable and their blood will be on our hands. Whenever we preach, we've got to preach with an urgency in our voice that we need to be right with God if anything should happen to us. There's things right now in motion that may change our nation almost overnight. And for me to stand here and act like everything's all right, I can't do that. The politicians in Washington may can do that and lead you to believe that everything's going to be okay. But in the house of God, there's got to arise a siren that says, blast, 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 attention, attention, attention. Things are changing and they're changing quickly. We've got to have preachers in the pulpit that will say, watch out! Warning! Warning! Red light! Warning! People know something's going on in the Middle East. They know something's going on in Iraq, in Iran, in Damascus. They know about Iran. And people that's not even scripturally literate are trying to answer these things, and they're missing in a million miles. And God's saying to the preachers, get up and tell them. It's time to talk about what God's doing. People are seeking the Lord. People are seeking Christ. And if they don't find him in the church, where are they going to find him?
Got an invitation to come back that the Lord laid on my heart, and that's when Mr. Tuart asked me about, did you have a dream? And I did. That's when he told me about the coming storm. And as I'm about to go into prayer, I just want to say the Lord laid on my heart. I said, I'm not going to share it unless somebody asks me to come. And where's Commissioner Barry asked me to come, and I said, this is it. I was going to share it. That there's another level about to happen.
Riots are coming. Riots in the streets are coming. And if we're not careful, shortly after the next election, the anger will mount so much that we'll end up having martial law declared. Loss of life is taking place.
If we stay on this road, it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be just us morphing into some socialist, you know, type of country. It's going to be, I think, worse than what was experienced in Nazi Germany. In dialogue, trying to understand, because I believe what happened there was a dress rehearsal for what the devil's trying to do in the whole world.
I think the way the world is going, the way the U.S. is going, I think there's going to come a time, and it's probably going to be sooner than later, when what I do in a public forum is going to be labeled as a hate crime.
Some disturbing news from Russia. President Vladimir Putin signed a law outlawing evangelism and cracking down on house churches. The laws forbid evangelism outside of churches and other religious sites. That means people can't even share their faith in their homes or even on the internet.
Well, you don't think God could put a tyrant over America? You don't think God could put a tyrant that oppresses the church? What have we been doing? What have we been doing as a church?
Our power doesn't come from some self-declared savior promising that he alone can restore order as long as we do things his way. We don't look to be ruled.
God is just. You think this last 7 years has been tough? This 8 years have been tough? That's just Jehoiakim. Zedekiah is right on the precipice of coming to pass in this nation.
Not going to make it through the times that are coming without being his disciples and more. Without growing up into our purpose.
And that so happens that communism is a system that I disagree with philosophically. I would not prefer to live under a communist system. I happen to feel that the great moments of history have been those moments when individuals have been left free to think and to act.
Lord, raise up mighty men and women. Raise up young people. Raise up voices, not echoes. Voices that can cut through and make politicians and judges shake in their boots. Raise up prophetesses. Put a sure word in their mouth. Let it hit the news channels. Let America know God is not through with America. Revival! Revival!
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is Steve Kolesetsky. John Paul Jackson prophesied about what we're seeing today in the streets. As a matter of fact, let's take a look back at what John Paul Jackson said would come after the elections of 2016. Let's take a look.
Riots are coming. Riots in the streets are coming. And if we're not careful, shortly after the next election, the anger will mount so much that we'll end up having martial law declared. And there are six cities in the United States that, and there may be more than six, but I have seen six cities in the United States where martial law was declared. Loss of life was taking place. So you see Detroit, you see Los Angeles, you see New York, you see Atlanta, you see here in Dallas. Surprisingly, and then there's one other mystery city that I saw, but I don't know the name of the city. And that our freedoms are going to grow smaller and smaller as these type of things start to increase. The financial issues are going to be going to get much, much worse. The euro is going to end up collapsing, and the dollar will not be far behind it. It'll be a matter of weeks before the dollar ends up following suit.
This is so important because God lets us know things before they happen. He talks about it in Amos, I believe, chapter 3, verse 7, maybe. But when we think about, we're going to talk about George Soros today. George Soros, we've talked about him before, but understand that this is how close that Hillary Clinton and George Soros are. Her daughter got married at George Soros' daughter's house. He was investing in being a part of her campaign, which just recently just lost. They're gathering as we speak in Washington, D.C. after the election, these organizations that George Soros funds to be able to organize anti-Trump protests. As a matter of fact, let's take a look because understand that God said these things were going to be happening. Now we're seeing it take place. A lot of people think it's over. We had Chuck Pierce on just the other day, and he was prophesying that everybody's going to say peace, 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 but it's not going to be any peace. There's going to be this shaking going on, and immediately, before the 70-day transition period of the president-elect Donald Trump is up, before the inauguration takes place January 20th, they're already organizing against our president, which a president-elect that America just elected, a sweeping election across the United States. Let's take a look.
Across the U.S., and police are gearing up for more. Crowds have been marching through Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., New York, and Chicago, among many others. The protests are mainly proving to be peaceful thus far, but keeping an eye on it, police have had to move into some of them, which have threatened to turn rowdy. One of the groups organizing anti-Trump rallies is called Move On. It's calling for action and demonstrations against the president-elect nationwide. However, Move On apparently has ties to billionaire investor George Soros. Ah, there's a name to conjure with. That information came to light from the emails leaked by WikiLeaks from Hillary Clinton campaign chairman John Podesta. In the leaked emails, Soros is told about activists who need funding, with the Move On group highlighted. Interesting turn of events. Let's talk live to Marco Gasich, international affairs commentator. Mark, what's the fuss about here? Trump, whether you like him or not, was elected fairly and squarely by the looks of it. Nobody's saying the votes were rigged. Nobody's saying there's anything underhand here. don't people just simply have to accept that that's the way it is? Democracy played out. The majority of the people wanted it. Well, thereabouts. There he is.
Yeah, well, I would certainly agree, Kevin. In essence, what the opponents of Trump now are doing is exactly what they accused him of planning to do if he lost, which is disputing the results of an entirely fair election. It's an election where they've had all the media power and more of the money, and yet they've lost to him and to the voice of those ordinary people in the American shires who are normally ignored and forgotten. So they've spoken up, as in the UK earlier. So it's a kind of almost a tussle now between the Clinton-Soros view, which is that the only democracy that's allowed is a one-party democracy that agrees with what you say, and or rather with what they say. And if that doesn't happen, then they're ready to do a colour revolution to destroy that democracy and that democratic vote.
I was going to say,
they've done it abroad, now they're doing it at home.
Are these genuine protesters, or going on from what I was saying just now, you know, given these latest WikiLeaks revelations about funding activists, could they be activists that are funded, stirring it up, not genuinely people that are genuinely aggrieved with the democratic process?
Well, I think it's those who are stirring it up, and they do, many of them work for George Soros's front organizations, are really telling those innocent protesters and perhaps less innocent protesters that they're in danger, that they're endangered by Trump, even though Trump has done nothing but preach unity since he actually won the election. So it's clear that what they object to in Trump, that's to say what the globalist elite object to in Trump, is perhaps something else other than the things they're telling the protesters about. And I think what they really want, I don't think they really imagine they're going to get rid of Trump, but what they want to do is to intimidate him into agreeing to settle for social peace at home as long as the globalist elites are allowed to pursue their continuing wars abroad. And so really it's a trade-off where, in effect, they want him to throw in the towel and become a neocon just like they are.
We're showing our viewers, one of the protesters in the streets, they're saying that Trump should be assassinated. Okay, maybe she made that off the cuff, maybe whatever, but is it going to turn that way? Is it going to get more and more violent? Or is this all going to die down?
That, I think, is the $64,000 question. But effectively, that sense of inevitability of the kind of Western liberal globalist movement has been brought short by the return of a traditionalist kind of old white male. And it's something that they find intolerable. But as I say, if this, and as you say, indeed, the election was fought in a fair way, a relatively fair way, slightly to the detriment of Donald Trump, who didn't make things easier for himself with some of his sound bites. Mm. But now that the election has been fought and won by him, they should put up or shut up.
Well, now California is saying they would like to reject these results. They say it's not consistent with the state's values. I mean, on the legal side of it, how can they say that? He won this election fair and square by the rules. What are they talking about there?
I think we're talking about someone stirring the pot there, because America has never had traditionally had a problem with accepting the results of elections. We now have, as I say, Soros behind many color revolutions in other countries are now financing, in effect, a kind of semi-color revolution in the U.S. I don't know whether it categorizes as treason, but he certainly operates from the shadows, in the shadows. His only legitimacy is his wallet, and his only concern is to create the kind of democracy that he can prop up and gain an interest from. So that's the kind of person who's behind this continuing protest against what, at the end of the day, was a valid, legitimate, free and fair election.
Obama's not said too much about this trouble that's brewing at the moment. Do you think he will step in? I mean, what can he say? Maybe he's trying to stay out of it so it doesn't get stoked up any further. What response, if any, are we expecting from him soon?
Well, I think that President Obama has the power, immorally in a sense, through his popularity, to actually considerably stop and dampen down these tensions. But I think he's quite pleased in the short term that they're happening, and then he will finally turn up and, in a slightly moderate voice, ask for some more calmness. But actually, he should really be much quicker about his reaction, because it is the fundamentals of American democracy that are being threatened here. If little groups disagree with an election, the idea they can then demonstrate their way into political power is in effect trying to turn the US into the banana republic that so many other states have had happen to them as a result of the efforts of previous American administrations. Some might say it's the the source for the, what's source for the goose is source for, well, there's a phrase about it anyway.
Yeah,
the point
one.
Is poetic justice, I think, is the the essence of it.
Marco Gasek, international affairs commentator, thanks for your time today. Have a good evening.
This is so important. We're going to be talking about today organizing darkness, organizers of the day versus organizers of the night, and realize it's all just begun. Join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We are in a major apostolic reformation season in the church. The church means fellowship in the Bible, but it also means strategeia, warring. So in the midst of this season, God is raising up through our fellowship a warring unit that knows how to move forward to accomplish His purposes in the earth. We want you to know that you need to connect with an apostolic movement, or else you need to be a part of building an apostolic structure. And we want to encourage you as you move forward in this season of the church that you be a part of the apostolic church arising.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We had talked about, and we have it for you available on VFNTV.com. It's called Organizers of the Day versus Organizers of the Night, and it's about rules for radicals. Saul Alinsky, we're going to be talking about that today. And George Soros, and definitely Hillary Clinton was mentored by Saul Alinsky. At a distance, so was President Barack Obama. And it's one of the particular rules for radicals, there's 13 rules. One of the rules that they use to be able to organize is if you repeat a lie long enough, people believe it. And right now, I mean, think about this before I tell you anything, before you see this particular 2891 you're about to see. Know this, that I got to ask you a question, Steve. It's so important. If I have a huge 55-gallon drum,
okay.
I mean, you can actually, you can fit inside of it,
okay.
Right? You can fit inside this drum's big, right? 55 gallons. Now, if 72% of that 55-gallon drum was filled with peanut butter, right?
I have a hard time getting into that.
Well, you're not in it now. You're coming back out of it. You're not getting in it. Okay.
So I'm with you.
So I'm trying to say, I want you to, so it's 72% full of peanut butter. Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of peanut butter, right?
That's a lot.
For us, it's not for Isaiah Ramos, but for us, it's a lot. But then you take jelly and you fill not the rest of it with jelly.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
And if you stir that up, right?
Peanut butter and jelly.
What's going to be more in there, peanut butter or jelly?
Peanut butter.
Is it going to taste like peanut butter or jelly?
Probably peanut butter.
Wasn't that evil? Shouldn't that be evil? What in the world is peanut butter being so dominant? Why is there so much peanut butter in this thing? Why does it taste like peanut butter, you think?
Well, because it's the majority of it.
Thank you. Well, let's look at the racial makeup of America. 72% of it's peanut butter. I mean, look at this thing. You have people talking about that, you know, everything's talking about, you know, white people this and white people that. It's like 72% of America is made up of white people. White people. That's what's happening. It's mostly peanut butter. But you have people, you literally have people that are making people, they're repeating a lie saying to be white is to be wrong. That they're minimalizing peanut butter. It's like, mm-hmm. You are what you are. I mean, whether you're white or black or brown or yellow or red, I mean, they're all precious in God's sight. But in America, 72% of the drum is filled with peanut butter. It's mm-hmm. It has white folks.
That's right.
And we have to understand every life is important. And when people tell you it was what happened with our presidential candidate that got in office because of the white vote, it's like 72% of the peanut butter is white. I mean, obviously, anytime a population moves and it's that big, it's almost 75%. I mean, that's actually what you're going to have. You take a look at this thing right here. I mean, you're seeing this thing, and it says specifically that America is made up, according to Wikipedia here, it's 72.4% of white. It is 12.6% black or African American. It's 4.8% of Asian. It's 0.9% of American Indian and Alaska Natives. It's 0.2% of Native Hawaiians and Pacifics. And two to more cents of the other. But it's like, it looks like a lot of peanut butter to me. And we have people that are feeling like, I don't know. I don't know why everything tastes like peanut butter. I mean, everywhere I look, there's a white person. It's because there's a lot of white people in America. Don't feel bad because you're a black American. Don't feel bad because you're a white American. Don't feel bad because you're an Asian American. We're all Americans. E pluribus unum. People are literally apologizing for being the race they are. But look at it. You're 72%. And in regards to the church, you know, we're called to love all nations. We're called to win them all. But that includes you need to actually love white people too.
Mm-hmm.
You need to love every nation, and you need to begin to embrace who you are. And this division that's taking place that you're seeing happen as they're organized in darkness, they're trying to minimalize 72% of a population. 72%. And that's a lot of peanut butter in a 55-gallon drum. It's like it's not going to happen. People, you have to begin to believe that you're not there, but you're
right
there. And in the context of that, and so when you look at that and you see what's really going on, you're going, wait a minute, that's just a real small fragment of our society that's being funded by somebody like George Soros. As a matter of fact, there are riots in the streets, and there's things that's taking place right here. But read this article from Politico that just came November the 15th as they're writing right here.
George Soros and other rich liberals who spent tens of millions of dollars trying to elect Hillary Clinton are gathering in Washington for a three-day closed-door meeting to retool the big money left to fight back against Donald Trump. The conference, which kicked off Sunday night at Washington's pricey Mandarin Oriental Hotel, is sponsored by the influential Democracy Alliance Donor Club and will include appearances by leaders of most leading unions and liberal groups, as well as darlings of the left, such as House Democratic Leader Nancy Pelosi, Senator Elizabeth Warren, and Congressional Progressive Caucus Co-Chairman Keith Ellison. according to an agenda and other documents obtained by Politico. The meeting is the first major gathering of the institutional left since Trump's shocking victory over Hillary Clinton in last week's presidential election. And if the agenda is any indication, liberals plan full-on trench warfare against Trump from day one. Some sessions deal with gearing up for 2017 and the 2018 elections, while others focus on thwarting President-elect Trump's 100-day plan, which the agenda calls a terrifying assault on President Obama's achievements and our progressive vision for an equitable and just nation. Yet the meeting also comes as many liberals are reassessing their approach to politics and the role of the Democracy Alliance, or DA, as the club is known in Democratic finance circles. The DA, its donors, and beneficiary groups over the last decade have had a major hand in shaping the institutions of the left, including by orienting some of its key organizations around Clinton, and by basing their strategy around the idea that minorities and women constituted a so-called rising American electorate that could tip elections to the Democrats.
Okay, let's go back to that graphic again to see what percentage then they're saying. So that's a rising demographic. Mm-hmm. So I have that particular. Yes, there it is. Okay. So the complete total 100% of the African American vote would be 12.6% of our population, right? Mm-hmm. And then half of the white vote would be predominantly probably women, you know, yes, half mm-hmm. of that. So you're looking, they're saying they're focusing on that particular part of the vote. What they're saying in the narrative that they're using, they're saying that, you know, it was the white uneducated, it's like 72%, you're going to have educated white folks, you're going to have uneducated mm-hmm. white folks, you're going to have old white folks, young white folks, smart white folks, not so smart white folks. It's 72% white. And so we have to understand that they're repeating this narrative over and over again. And so this is important. We're starting to see ourselves divided. And we're called very specifically as Christians to love all nations and not be divided. And you're seeing the love of God, a love of people in America where this narrative has been promoted and people are just going like, it doesn't really matter. We're all Americans. But the thing about it is we've got to begin to understand there's going to be peanut butter in everything if 72%. If 72% of your bucket is filled with peanut butter, there's going to be peanut butter in everything. And there's nothing wrong with peanut butter. And there's nothing wrong with jelly. But you have to realize if you're 72% white, white folks are going to be in everywhere. They're going to be all over the mm-hmm. place. You know. And so when you think about that, it's very, very important. Because when we get back from this break, we're going to talk specifically about how organizing is taking place. Organizing Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals, how Hillary Clinton, we have a personal letter she wrote to Saul Alinsky, how he mentored her, and the book he wrote, that's on the back cover of this book, we'll be talking about it, they dedicated to Barack Obama, by then he's Barack Obama, but now he's President Barack Obama, and Hillary Clinton, the mm-hmm. Chicago Sun-Times. And the inside of the cover is dedicated to Lucifer. We're about to meet the author of that book, and it's going to really shock you. As a matter of fact, join us after the break. First, we have this offer for you.
Okay, today's offer for your partnership of any amount. Remember, it's our partners that help keep us on the air. It's offer 2018. When your job becomes a job, learning how to deal with times of testing in your place of work and occupation. It's so easy to get caught up in our success, but even more so in times of crisis. No matter whether it's times of blessing or crisis, it's so important to never allow your attention or your heart to be turned away from the Lord. Job was a very blessed man who loved and honored God. He was a man of integrity. His business was reportedly worth over $5 million in today's value. But suddenly, there came a time of testing that turned his job into a job. He had a personal, family, and financial, and occupational crisis followed by a physical crisis. Everything that could be tested was tested. But he remained faithful to God. This message will help you get a better perspective of times when you go through times of testing. Remember, he had a sevenfold return. Today's offer is offer 2018, when your job becomes a job. It's so simple to partner. Go to VFNTV.com and click on Partner Now, or mail your gift to VFNTV to 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida 32505, or call us toll free at 844-408-3688. That's offer 2018, when your job becomes a job.
Open TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. What are the religious rights of students in public schools? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My daughter is in the fifth grade. They have an open house, and I asked her to let her teacher know that we were not going to be able to make it because we need to go to church. Her teacher responded back that church is not an excuse not to be there, that if she misses, that she's going to have to make up by doing an oral in front of other classrooms.
Well, first of all, they have to accommodate your daughter's sincerely held religious beliefs and your family's, number one. Number two, this was not an activity during the school day. It sounds like it was an after-school event, an open house. That's not mandatory. That's not under the compelled attendance law of the states for public education. And again, I want to emphasize that you have a, if you had a church obligation, that you had the right to go there and your daughter can't be penalized for it. So I'm going to get you in touch with our legal department here at the American Center for Law and Justice, and we'll get you some help.
For more information about student rights, visit us on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Ruth Cox from Sherman, Texas is a consultant. Hi, my name is John Maxwell, and welcome to Minute with Maxwell. The word today is stewardship. Stewardship means management. When we become a good steward of something, it means that we have managed it. And I think that the root of management comes from the fact that we feel responsible for it. And I have often said we should start managing our life before we start managing anything else or anyone else. So stewardship kind of begins with me. Managing my own time, managing my own efforts, managing my life to its very maximum potential. I was recently asked, as a leader, what my greatest challenge was, and I said to them with a smile, leading myself. If I could just lead myself well, it's a lot more difficult than leading others. So manage yourself, be a good steward of your own life first, and then you can lead others.
Here we are, yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I mean, that was amazing when you think about that, you know, the peanut butter analogy.
Yeah,
that, you know,
makes
we got,
sense.
You're going to start seeing a narrative put out there, and we got to find out, you know, who are we, what are we, what do we believe, what are we supposed to do as a church, and we need to begin to organize. But first, we have to look how they're organizing. As a matter of fact, I want you to meet Saul Alinsky first. This is Saul Alinsky. He's the author of a book called Rules for Radicals, but let's hear him first. This is him talking about, as a matter of, we'll just let him talk. Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether there are such things as answers. Take the business on the hereafter. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. I've never seen the evidence one way or the other. I don't expect to see it during my lifetime. But if there is, I suppose, given a choice, I think I would pick hell. The reason I'd pick hell is because that's where all the have-nots are. You know, the currency of the realm shifts. Over here it's money, over there it's virtue. But either way, if you haven't got it, you're stuck. And I've spent all my life with the have-nots. And once I got into hell, I'd start organizing, just like I do down here. And then I'd be in heaven, personally, you know, because this is the thing that gives me the greatest happiness in life. And look out, heaven, here we come. I'm sure there are a lot of grievances that people down there have that should be worked out one way or another.
Saul David Alinsky, the man who would grow up to fantasize about organizing hell itself, literally.
Organizing hell itself. So he writes a book when he's in jail. The book he writes, as you can see right here, is called Rules for Radicals. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, he wrote a book. Can you see the book? I can't see the book. There's the book. I see the book. So he writes this book. And now look on the back cover of this book. The back cover of this book, if you look a little bit closer, it's actually dedicated to Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, who were mentored by Saul Alinsky. But let's take a look at the inside cover, who they dedicated the book to. Can you read this? Get a little bit closer there so we can read this thing. Read this.
Lest we forget, at least an over-the-shoulder acknowledgement to the very first radical. From all our legends, mythology, and history, and who is to know where mythology leaves off and history begins, or which is which. The first radical known to man who rebelled against the establishment and did it so effectively that he at least won his own kingdom, Lucifer.
So this is the man. I mean, he's open about what he's doing.
Oh, yeah.
So that would be the last person you think that Hillary Rodham then, but Rodham Clinton, would be writing to. And be, why would she want to be mentored by Saul Alinsky? But let's go take a look at just an envelope that she mailed a letter right here. If you can see this letter right here. This is a letter that she wrote. Hillary Rodham. Rodham is her maiden name.
Maiden name, right.
And look who it's addressed to. It's addressed to Mr. Saul Alinsky, right? I think that's a little bit serious. As a matter of fact, we actually have the letter reportedly right here. Take a look at the letter right here. And we'll let Dana read this letter, Dana Lash, as she's reading this letter that Hillary Clinton wrote to Saul Alinsky, who you just met, who they're organizing right now in Washington, D.C., with those kind of techniques. As a matter of fact, let's go there now and let Dana read it.
From the Washington Free Beacon, July 8th, 1971. Dear Saul, when is that new book coming out? Or has it come and I somehow missed the fulfillment of Revelation? I have just had my 1,000th conversation about revile and need some new material to throw at the people. You are being rediscovered again as the new left-type politicos are finally beginning to think seriously about the hard work and mechanics of organizing. I seem to have survived law school, slightly bruised, with my belief in and zest for organizing intact. If I never thank you for those encouraging words of last spring in the midst of the Yale-Cambodia madness, I do so now. I miss our biennial conversations. I hope you are still well and fighting. Give my regards to Mrs. Harper. Hopefully, we can have a good argument sometime in the near future. Until then, Hillary.
So, this is serious business. When people are talking about organizing against our country, the article that you just heard Steve read from Politico said they wanted to get together in Washington to use the money left over, you know, in funding groups like MoveOn.com, according to the press that we just heard talk about it, to be able to do what? To do exactly what these Rules for Radicals that, you know, we taught very specifically, organizers of the light versus organizers of the night.
Organizers of the night versus organizers of the day.
Organizers of the day versus organizers of the night. It's so important, you have to understand it, because you won't even realize, like, I mean, even if you have teenagers, you're going like, I think I'm being organized. They're organizing us right now
That's so
they could go do something. Okay. But you have to realize that these are basic Lucifer tactics that Saul Alinsky understood, and he dedicated his techniques to Lucifer. But if other people are using them, they're using techniques of the flesh, you know, to be able to manipulate and control. And what I thought was pretty interesting, in the WikiLeaks that reporter was reporting, that they saw where the leader of the Democratic National Convention that was running Hillary Clinton's campaign is writing emails to George Soros saying, you need to fund these organizations, put money in these organizations, and now they're talking about in this political article, they want to gather all that money up, which I think, why would you use money given towards an election to be able to potentially come against a country? That's not good.
Yeah.
That's not good at all. And you're seeing people right now are being motivated. I mean, think about, what is the biggest motivator in America right now besides technology? I mean, what is it? It's just money. I mean, you can get a dog to roll over for a hot dog. You know, he'll just do anything. And people that are flesh-driven, you just offer them money, and they'll just do anything. Well, you sit here and say, they're paying money to people to go out and organize these things. And we, and very specifically, you know, Tracy Hamilton's, Pat's wife, Pat Hamilton's wife, that God showed her in a prophetic dream coming out of a 7-day time of prayer and fasting, that this organizing on and organizing off, where people are kicking the streets and they're coming back, they're going on the streets and coming back, this thing's going to kick into some point where it's going to morph, and all of a sudden it's not going to be, you can't take it off. And some people are just playing around with it, but people behind it, you know, is...
They got an agenda, and they know what they're doing.
They have an agenda, and it's really, it's not even, men think they're evil, but Satan is way evil, and they're being used as puppets to be able to do that. Well, I know when we get back from this break in a moment, we're going to hear another plan that they've had all along going, and they, George Soros talked about it in 2012, and they're preparing for this day. This is a billionaire that has made money off crashing nations' money. Remember, this is what was said specifically, that in the presidential debates, and it was revealed through WikiLeaks about the speeches reportedly that were given, that there wanted to be a basically a Western Hemisphere economy where, you know, Mexico and South America and North America and Canada would be all one currency. Well, listen, in our next program, we're going to talk more about that, because that's exactly what God told John Paul Jackson. That's exactly what George Soros is wanting, reportedly. And that's exactly what Hillary Clinton just said in the presidential debates. And we have to wake up. I mean, think about that. It could be Amero or pesos, you know, whatever it be, the next day. And this is a plan they have going on. But join us after the break. We'll talk more about it.
VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the David Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in Vision and SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there. You can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. And so back in 2000, this has been going on for quite some time, and this whole thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, President Barack Obama is a community organizer. Marshall Gantz, as a matter of fact, do we have Marshall Gantz where you can hear what Marshall Gantz has to say? Well, actually, you have him. He says you have to actually, you know, polarize before you organize. And so America is so divided. Polarization means divided. that that's what's happening right now. And people don't understand it, but they're just totally, completely divided. Remember, listen, this is Marshall Gantz. This is the one of the campaign organizers for President Barack Obama's election, his first election. Let's listen to what he says about the rules for radicals and how you have to organize, polarize before you organize.
But, you know, it's like Saul Alinsky said. Organizers have to be well-integrated schizoids because you have to polarize to mobilize and depolarize to settle. But without polarizing, you're never going to mobilize anything. And yeah, then there's a time to negotiate. And I think we're really screwed up on that.
So understand, when somebody says we're not trying to destroy America, what they're trying to do is reshape America. But they first polarize before they can organize, then they depolarize to shift to settle. Hear him one more time. This is a very well-known organizer that knows how this thing's done. Listen one more time.
But, you know, it's like Saul Alinsky said. Organizers have to be well-integrated schizoids because you have to polarize to mobilize and depolarize to settle. But without polarizing, you're never going to mobilize anything. And, yeah, then there's a time to negotiate. And I think we're really screwed up on that.
This is someone who actually was part of the first campaign for then-Senator Barack Obama, who became president, who also was an organizer, and that would be common that you would hang out. But Saul Alinsky is the theme, and that was the first time I was exposed to Saul Alinsky. So let's go take a look at what happened in 2012, what billionaire George Soros was talking about, the one that's funding all these Saul Alinsky organizations that are going to these radical type organizations. Take a look.
Billionaire investor George Soros has a new prediction for America. While it might be as dire as it gets for the financial whiz, this bet concerns more than just the value of the buck. According to Soros, there's about to be an all-out class war. Soros, who's 81, previously bet against the British pound in the early 90s and made $1 billion off of its collapse. In the years since, he's remained active in investing, but also in advocacy. He's helped keep Wikipedia afloat thanks to impressive contributions and through donations to the Tide Center has indirectly funded. Speaking to Newsweek recently, Soros neglected to acknowledge his past successes, but instead offered a word of warning. A period of evil is coming to the Western world. I'm not here to cheer you up. The situation is about as serious and difficult as I've experienced in my career, Soros tells Newsweek. We're facing an extremely difficult time, comparable in many ways to the 1930s, the Great Depression. We are facing now a general retrenchment in the developing world, which threatens to put us in a decade of more stagnation or worse. The best case scenario is a deflationary environment. The worst case scenario is a collapse of the financial system. Soros goes on to compare the current state of the Western world with what the Soviet Union was facing as communism crumbled. Although he would think that history would have taught the globe a thing or two about noticing trends, Soros says that despite past events, providing a perfect example for what is to come, the end of an empire seems imminent. The collapse of the Soviet system was a pretty extraordinary event, and we are currently experiencing something similar in the developing world without fully realizing what's happening.
So you're looking at this, you're looking at it very specifically that they've been working on this for quite some time. For quite some time they've been working on it. And people are just sleeping, and the fact that maybe your candidate won or didn't win, that's not the thing. The thing is that basically what we have is a different martial. There's going to be martial law. Martial law is coming to America. A $20 trillion debt is going to, you know, coming to a head. They just threw, you'll find out in the future program, the World Bank put $16 billion, I believe it is. It could be more than that. Just a phenomenal amount of money into the marketplace during this time, because you saw the markets go down right before the election, and also they came right back up. But it was the World Bank dumping more money, which devalues everybody's money, and they're getting ready to shift things. You first, as a matter of fact, let's listen to Marshall Gantz one more time to understand what they're saying.
But, you know, it's like Saul Alinsky said, organizers have to be well-integrated schizoids because you have to polarize to mobilize and depolarize to settle. But without polarizing, you're never going to mobilize anything. And yeah, then there's a time to negotiate. And I think we're really screwed up on that.
So you're looking at, and this is Saul Alinsky's talking about. Let's go take a look and listen to Saul Alinsky one more time so we understand who he's talking about.
I don't know whether there are such things as answers. take the business on the hereafter. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. I've never seen the evidence one way or the other. I don't expect to see it during my lifetime. But if there is, I suppose, given a choice, I think I would pick hell. The reason I'd pick hell is because that's where all the have-nots are. You know, the currency of the realm shifts. Over here it's money, over there it's virtue. But either way, if you haven't got it, you're stuck. And I've spent all my life with the have-nots, and once I got into hell, well, I'd start organizing, just like I do down here. And then I'd be in heaven, personally, you know, because this is the thing that gives me the greatest happiness in life. And look out, heaven, here we come. I'm sure there are a lot of grievances that people down there have that should be worked out one way or another.
Saul David Alinsky, the man who would grow up to fantasize about organizing hell itself. Literally.
It's very interesting to understand, you know, Hillary Clinton's mentor, because what he told her, reports are, is that you cannot organize from within. She convinced Saul Alinsky that you could. As a matter of fact, we actually have her alleged term paper. She wrote her thesis when she graduated from the university on Saul Alinsky and his techniques. What she argued with Saul Alinsky was, you know, this thing works, but you have to do it from within.
The inside.
Understand this. He was just proved right. You can't organize from within because the people voted overwhelmingly. We don't want Saul Alinsky methods being used in our nation. So people think it's over. It's not over. Saul Alinsky never was a person that wanted to organize from within. He always wanted to get the people polarized and organized on the outside. Mm-hmm. It's just begun. Then when they asked Hillary Clinton when she was running for office, they said, you know, if Donald Trump becomes president, are you going to go to Canada? She says, no. She says, I love America. I'm going to stay in America, and I'm going to fight for America. Mm. And so you're looking at these things and how she was mentored by Saul Alinsky. Right? Reportedly, by the way, she was in a church in Chicago, and her pastor introduced her to Saul Alinsky. And it began, you know, in a Methodist church, but a church. But let's look one more time. So here's this letter that's being written, the envelope. Look at the envelope. So no, this is Hillary Rodham, or just Clinton now. She's writing to Saul Alinsky. So realize this thing ain't over. I don't know if you can see. Yeah, this is it. And I want one more time to take a look at this letter. And I want you to hear Dana one more time read her letter that she wrote to this man, Saul Alinsky. It's not over, America. It's just begun.
From the Washington Free Beacon. July 8th, 1971. Dear Saul, when is that new book coming out? Or has it come and I somehow missed the fulfillment of Revelation? I have just had my 1,000th conversation about revile and need some new material to throw at the people. You are being rediscovered again as the new left-type politicos are finally beginning to think seriously about the hard work and mechanics of organizing. I seem to have survived law school, slightly bruised, with my belief in and zest for organizing intact. If I never thank you for those encouraging words of last spring in the midst of the Yale-Cambodia madness, I do so now. I miss our biennial conversations. I hope you are still well and fighting. Give my regards to Mrs. Harper. Hopefully, we can have a good argument sometime in the near future. Until then, Hillary.
This is so important. We, as the church, need to organize. We need to come together in unity. Everything's been divided. It's time for us to focus, like VFN Kingdom Business. We talk about it all the time. You go to vfnkb.org. We got to begin to unify. You know, the whole vision statement of that is unity on the necessities, liberty on the unity on the essentials, liberty on the non-essentials, and in all things love. We got to begin to not let people divide us. We got to begin to come together. Mm-hmm. One part of that is civil Christianity. You can get there at civilchristianity.org and begin to take a pledge and say, you know what, I want to begin to gather with people listen, if other people are organizing to be able to take our country and oppress the church and First Amendment and Second Amendment, and they're using these things to do it, I mean, there it is, plain as day. And it was attributed to Lucifer. I think it would be time for the church, the light, to rise up. You know, greater is he that's in you, that's he that's in the world. But we've got to begin to come together. I want to encourage you, you know, join a VFN TV partnership. But get involved in VFN Kingdom business. Just go to VFNTV.com, click on Partner Now, and choose to be a VFN Kingdom business partner. And be, understand, by us coming together, we're going to be able to focus on, they're focusing on all seven mountains, all seven of them, culture, which has to do with family, education, government, business, arts and entertainment, media, and others, the seven of them. And we have to realize, you know what? We can actually be disciples and go into those as well and be light and be positive people and influence in there. We've just found out just recently that if enough people stand up to do right, things turn. But understand this, and we're going to make this available to you on the VFN Torch. We have the alleged term paper that was written on Saul Alinsky by Hillary Clinton. And her argument was, and her paper was, he fights from the outside, we're going to fight from the inside. But this is the biggest thing, was no private ownership of property, based on my understanding. In other words, communism or socialism. And redistributing the wealth. And we have to wake up and realize that government replaces God in people's mind when you have a socialism or communism government, which means we, as Christians, need to go out and love people and preach the good news in the existence of God, and you'll find out people begin to turn to God. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, we love you. We thank you for this truth. We thank you for letting us know, God, what's going on. We just ask you right now that you would intervene and bring chaos and confusion into those who try to bring chaos and confusion into this nation, into the communities, Lord God, who begin to belittle members of our nation, God, and to divide us, God. Lord, you are not a divider, Father God. You unite, Lord, and we come around what you've established, Father God. And I pray that your truth would reign over Washington, D.C. Your truth would reign over all 50 states, God, that you would turn us back to you as a nation, one nation under God, indivisible, in liberty for all of us, God. Lord, we just call all those plans to naught, and we speak to the church and say, begin to gather and organize around what God is doing in this day and time and see the wonders of the Lord. God, we ask you, Lord, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search in your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app, and search VFN TV and download. Free, doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN Radio on the go.